friend, you're listening to Life Coach in Your Pocket with me, your certified life coach, Rachel Bailey. Each week, I'll bring you inspiration, motivation, and empowering learnings to help you navigate life's unexpected terrains. I believe that the more we know, the faster we grow. So each week, I'll be teaching high-level coaching concepts that you can apply to your real life. Here's to accomplishing big dreams, believing in your inner champion, and living a life filled with ease and joy. Like all navigational tools in the 21st century, I fit right in your pocket. I'm a life coach in your pocket. Happy listening. Hi, friend. Welcome back to another episode of Life Coach in Your Pocket with me, your certified life coach, Rachel Bailey. Today, I am bringing you a topic actually by request. So this request came in through Jonathan G. from Texas. And before I tell you what his question to me was, I wanted to let you know that if you have an idea for a specific podcast or a specific topic that you would like covered, you can send me that request via email at coachrachelbailey@gmail.com. And I will give you a shout out and I will answer your question on this podcast. So feel free to email me at any time. Okay, so this question comes in through Jonathan. I'm going to read his question before I get into an answer. Okay, here it goes. Hi, Rachel. Do you have a podcast on how to balance priorities and values in our life when everything feels important? I know there's future work of learning to say no and making space by canceling things. But what about when all of our values and things that we care about deserve our attention and time, yet we feel scattered and busy and overwhelmed? How do you then prioritize what's important to get your time and attention if everything is important to get your time and attention? And then he says, thank you in advance. If you already have a podcast on this topic, could you send it my way? Or if not, would you be willing to cover this topic? And Jonathan, I am so excited you asked. I do have other podcasts that talk about saying no or talk about being busy or talk about values. Yet this is such a specific question, I felt it deserved its own episode. So to start, I just want to say that Jonathan is using some of the language that I have pre-framed in previous episodes. And so if this is your first time listening, what I want to make very clear is the definition that we're using when we say values. We all might have some understanding of what a value is. I just want to make it really clear that when we're speaking in terms of NLP and coaching, a value is something that I unconsciously determine as important to get my time and attention. In other words, outside of this context, right, I might say to somebody that I value spending time with my cousins because I cherish that time. However, if there's not been a cousin get-together in my life in the last few years, then no, it's not actually an NLP value of mine because it doesn't meet the requirement of the definition. So values are unconsciously what we decide gets our time and attention. So the easiest way to understand what you value unconsciously is to simply open up your calendar and look at the past few months and see, where has all of your time gone? And I'll speak for myself. If I'm spending a couple hours a day watching TV, then even though that might not come up in conversation as being a value of mine, the reality is it is an unconscious value of mine because the television is getting 2 hours of my time currently in my life right now, unless I make a decision to cut it out and reprioritize something else, I can consciously change my values. But unconsciously, where is my time going? Now, in NLP, we are taught this process of how to elicit someone's unconscious values. So yes, the calendar is a good place to start. Yet if you're like, I don't actually know what I value unconsciously, you simply ask yourself the question, what's important to me about life? What is important to me about life? Now, the caveat here, which I usually do with clients one-on-one when we're doing this process, is I tell them not to think. Don't think. Don't negotiate. Don't rationalize. Don't judge what's coming out of your mouth. Speak quickly. What's important to you? What else? What else? What else? What else? What's important to you? What else? What else? What else? What else? And we want to do this faster than the conscious mind can process. Why? Because we're trying to get to the unconscious values, like the time I spend watching TV, not the conscious values, like, oh, I should be spending more time with my cousins. And if we answer very, very quickly, we're tapping into that unconscious mind. So in order to gain the most, I was going to say value, but that's accurate. In order to gain the most value from this podcast, what I'd like for you to do now is actually elicit some of your unconscious values around life really quickly so you have a starting place. So if you're driving, you can just follow along in your head, maybe say out loud some of the values that come up. But if you're at home, go ahead and do me a favor and just grab a piece of paper and a pen really quick. You can pause me and go get those materials and come back. This will only take a second. At the top of the paper, I just want you to write life values. Now remember, you're going to do this process fast, 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 faster than the conscious mind can process. When I ask you the question, I want you to answer with one word, if possible. So in other words, don't give me a sentence, a paragraph, an essay. Just give me the one word summary. So instead of writing time with cousins, I might just write cousins. Or instead of writing the paycheck that I receive from work, I might just write money and work as two separate values. Okay, well, that makes sense. So now I'm going to ask question, and I'm going to give pausing time for you to write. If more than one word comes up, for example, money, work, family, just keep writing, even if I haven't re-asked the question. If you're hearing multiple values coming up, just continue to write the list down. I'm just going to keep asking the question to keep poking your brain. All right, here we go. What is important to you about life? What is important to you about life? What else is important about life? What's important about life? What else is important to you about life? If you're following along and you're actually doing this exercise and you want more time, just rewind and repeat that part. But I am going to move forward for those that aren't necessarily following along and they just want to get to the tips. How do you know when you're done writing your list? It will feel complete. So there's not an number that we're looking for. It's not like once you get to 10 values, you're done, or once you get to 5 values, you're done. You're just going to write a list until you're like, I'm starting to repeat myself. I can't come up with anything new. I feel done. Okay, then your list of values is complete. Now, these are your unconscious values. They're not necessarily in order because we just did a really quick values elicitation. So I'm going to tell you how to put them in order if this is something that you're following along and doing and you'd like to do. We want the unconscious order. In other words, we don't want to rationalize what should be at the top. If we're like, oh, my faith should be at the top. My religion should be at the top. Okay, but really I know that the most important thing to me right now is my job. I kind of know that. Then I'm not going to lie to myself, in other words. So in order to get to the bottom of the truth of the unconscious mind, you're going to look at your list and you're going to, as fast as possible, write your values in the unconscious order of most important to least important. How do you do this? You just do it. You just do it fast, 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 faster than the conscious mind can process. You just look at the list and you rewrite it in the order that hits your gut. That's all I'm going to say about that. Don't overthink it. You're totally fine. And if you're actually going to follow along, you can just pause me right now to do that step. Now, what you have in front of you is a list of your unconscious values. This should explain a lot about where your time and your energy is going, because this is your list of values as they really are, not as you want them to be, not as you think they should be, but really where your time and attention is going. Couple this now, this list, with your calendar, and you can see patterns. You can see patterns of things that get your time and attention, and you can see patterns of things that maybe you say shouldn't get your time and attention, but they do. Okay, separately, what I want you to consider is what you wish your values list really was. So this is kind of like the reality of where my time is going. But what if I could manipulate my values so that they were in the quote-unquote right order or the quote-unquote best order? What would be ideal for you? I want you to write a separate list of conscious values, the values as you wish that they were. And if you're following along, just pause this and do that right now. Rewrite your values on a separate piece of paper of what you wish your values were. If you need to add some in, you're like, ooh, I forgot about my volunteer work. I'm going to add that to my conscious values list. Or, oh gosh, like health and fitness isn't even on here. That should probably be important to me. I'm going to add it to my second list. So your second list gets to be what you wish you valued. Now, you have two separate lists. And even if you haven't actually done this exercise, what I hope that you've gained just in listening is that what you value unconsciously is not going to be the same thing as what you value consciously. And this exercise proves that. So why did I have you do all that? And what does this have to do with Jonathan's question? Well, number one, it was important to understand Jonathan's question when it comes to when we're talking about values. We're talking about the things that get our time and attention. These are the unconscious values. The things that we wish would get more of our time and more of our attention. These are our conscious values. What I want you to just take a notice of right now is which values are on only one list. Which of your values only showed up on your unconscious list, or conversely, only showed up on your conscious list? If it only showed up in your unconscious list and it's not on your conscious list, then what I'm guessing is that that priority or that value is getting too much of your time. Like you think maybe you're giving that thing too much of your time. I'll give you an example. If on your unconscious values list, you have some sort of volunteer work or some sort of side project that did not make your conscious list, it might be time to cut that off of your calendar if it's no longer consciously important to you. And the opposite is also true. If a value made your conscious list, but not your unconscious list, what that tells me is that that priority you think should get more time than it's really getting. So example, if you do not have exercise on your unconscious values list, but you do have exercise on your conscious list, I'm going to make the assumption that you wish that you were exercising more than you are. Make sense? Now, I know I haven't even begun to answer Jonathan's question, which is, his question is, what if everything is a top value? Like, what do you do with your time? How do you figure out your life? And I'm going to get to that. But it was really important to start here because you can see your individual patterns in your time and attention and behavior through your unconscious and conscious values. I'm going to give you my list of values that I did this morning while you were doing yours. Or it could be evening, wherever you are. It happens to be morning here while I'm recording. But wherever you are, I want to share my list of values so you can kind of hear what I have done with the unconscious and conscious values and kind of smush them together to create one list. So here's what I have. Number one, God. Number two, my children. Number three, my husband. Now, consciously judging that, I wish I would have put my husband second and my children third, but that's unconsciously what came up, so I left it. Number four, my clients. Number five, my group programs. Number six, my book. Number seven, my extended family. Number eight, my friends. Number nine, my health. Number 10, my personal development, meaning the time that I spend personally developing myself. That's what that means. Number 11, YouTube. So listening, consuming, this is something that I do every day. So it, of course, had to make my list. YouTube consumption of NDEs. I listen to near-death experiences almost every day. It's like an obsession of mine. My favorite channel, by the way, if you're curious, is Randy K. Every single person he interviews, absolutely amazing. Anyway, side tangent. But if it gets my time, see, it has to make my list. Oh, and then I also put fantasy novels because I spend time consuming fantasy novels on Audibles. And then last I put travel because I wish I was traveling more right now. It is a value of mine. It just, you know, how am I going to travel a lot right now? I don't know, but it's on my list. Okay, so something that I'm noticing about my values list that I want you to kind of notice here is I'm including things on my values list that get my time and attention every single day, with the exception of travel, which gets my time and attention maybe 2 to 3 times a year. That's why it's on the bottom of my list, because it still gets my time and attention, just not very much. Now, in just looking at this list, okay, I'm going to review it one more time. I'm kind of going to stop halfway of like the things that I would say if Jonathan were to ask me, or if anyone were to ask me, like, what are your top priorities? This is what would come out of my mouth. God, husband, children, one-on-one clients, group coaching programs, my book, extended family, friends, my health, my personal development. That's still a lot, even though I cut out kind of the entertainment stuff. So if all of those deserve my time and attention, how do I determine what gets my time and attention on the daily, on the weekly, on the monthly, on the quarterly? How am I deciding where to put that time and attention? And I know for some of you, you've got way more than my list. My list is kind of small given like the season of life that I'm in, right? Where I'm a full-time stay-at-home mom. I'm running a side business. But other than that, I mean, those are the two main things. If I were to sit down with some of you and ask you, you know, what gets your time and attention, the list would be astronomical. It would just go on and on and on and on, all the things that get your time and attention. So if that's you, hear me, because this episode is going to be powerful for you to understand where to put your time and attention. Now, I actually gave you a hint. The first tip is to understand that life is seasonal. Life is seasonal. So as a young person, even as early as my teens and 20s, I used to get anxiety thinking about all the things I wanted to do in life. It would honestly send me into either a depression or a panic because I did not know how I was going to get to everything. I mean, even picking a major was like, I don't know, I like dance, I like theater, I like poetry, I like writing, I like reading, I like Spanish, I don't know, I have no idea, like, what should I major in? Should I major in theater? Should I major in art? Should I major in Spanish? It's all important. I also wanted to be a professional ice skater. I wanted to be a professional ice skating coach. I wanted to travel the world. I wanted to learn an instrument. I wanted to write a book. There were so many interests that it would just send me into sort of this paralytic depression where I'd be like, well, I can't do it all. So I don't even know where to start. And I didn't even mention dreams like travel to Europe, get married, start a family. I mean, the list of aspirations that I had for myself at such a young age just went on and on and on and on. And I thought there's no way, there's not enough time. There's not enough time to do everything. Yet what I have come to learn is that there's plenty of time. There's plenty of time to get to everything if you live your life by this principle of seasons. You can and will get to everything on your life dream list if you apply focus to the season that you're in. Don't worry about tomorrow. Don't worry about next year. Don't worry about the next 5 years. Think about the next season and what you want to accomplish. Once you get through that season and you feel fulfilled in that dream has come to fruition, then it's time to move to the next dream. That list that I gave you, I've gotten to most of it. I have gotten to most of it by applying focus in the season that I am in. Now, obviously, I only picked one major, and I picked English because I was good at it. That's why I made that decision. It was easy for me, and I thought, well, I don't really want to be in college forever. I might as well just pick something that's easy for me. That's why I made that decision. However, I still gotten to teach art, I've gotten to coach skating, I've gotten to be involved in plays and theater productions, I've gotten to travel, I met the love of my life, I started a family, I started my own business, I'm currently working on my book. So there's been time enough for everything, but not time for everything all at once. We have to determine, what am I going to focus on for the next 6 months? And everything else can wait. There are things on my aspiration list that I have not gotten to yet. I one day want to write a devotional. I want to travel to Ireland at some point in my life. I definitely need to revamp my website. I want to put my programs into Kajabi. I want to run a marathon one day. I want to pass something called Adult Gold Moves in the Field, which is a skating term of a test that I really want to pass. Now, I already hear the next question coming, which is, well, how do I know what season I'm in? How do I determine what to focus on now and what can wait until later? Yes, I'm going to answer that as well as some other questions that I know you probably have. So the first tip, really, of the day is look at what God and the universe and your life have predetermined is important right now in this season. Okay, so for example, my 2-year-old, well, he's almost 2, he's a value of mine because by design, he needs to be a value of mine. It is unethical for me to put him on the back burner and to not care for him and to not love him and to not nurture him, especially when my whole life, my whole way of being is to help heal people that have childhood trauma. Well, then I'm not going to just leave my child to abandonment so I can go heal other people with abandonment issues. That doesn't make sense. So my current reality is telling me what one of my values is and should be. Okay, does that make sense? So for me, the predetermined value is taking care of my son. For you, right, there might be other different predetermined values in your life. For example, if you're at a season in life where you need to work, and that work is going to get 8 hours of your attention every day, 40 hours a week, then yeah, that's going to be a priority because it's been predetermined for you. That doesn't mean you can't start a business or start a side hustle or start making income somewhere else. It's just that currently right now, if that's your source of income, that's the value. For others of you, school is going to be a top value because of the season of life that you're in. It's predetermined for you. So for example, if you're in college, as a result of that, you're going to need to value your class time. You're going to need to value your homework. You're going to need to value that aspect of your life that is seasonal. However, there is a second part to this tip, and that is tip number 2. Let your goals determine the amount of time and effort and energy you put into a value. The sort of quick and easy way of saying this is tip number 2, let your goals determine your values. So let's take that example of the person that is in college, right? And by seasonal design, they must put time, energy, and effort into their classwork, right? Into showing up. However, what GPA they want to focus on, that is going to be determined by personal goals. If graduating is the goal, then killing yourself to get a 4.0 isn't the goal. Does that make sense? Okay, so for me personally, when I was in college, I was balancing a lot. I went back to skating. I went back to my sports goals. I had a very social life because a 4.0 sort of wasn't really important to me. I wanted to graduate. I wanted to move on, get my teaching credential. Well, the requirements of getting a teaching credential, I think I just needed like a 3.0 and some volunteer work at my local public schools. I did not need a 4.0. So for me, that's not a priority because there's no active goal around it. If you do have a goal around it, it would sound more like this. Well, a 4.0 is important to me because I want to get into postgraduate school or I want to go to law school after this, and it's very exclusive, and the higher my GPA is, the more likely I am to get in. Great, there's a goal attached to that GPA. Here's what I see happening a lot of times when people prioritize things and they have no idea why they're prioritizing it, okay? So someone who was in my position, right? That's like, okay, well, this is like the check boxes for me to get to the next step is to graduate. And yet they put all this personal pressure on themselves to get a 4.0. Why? Because society says so? Because good grades are important? Because it's a reflection of my competence? Because I'm perfect and I need a perfect GPA? Those are not goals. Those are labels, identities, limiting decisions. If you are pursuing something, but you personally can't answer the question when someone asks you, why is this personally important to you? And the only answers that you can come up with are sort of ego-based or label-driven, I've got news for you. That is something that you should really question and look at. Why is it getting so much time and attention for you to kill yourself to get an A on this paper if at the end of the day, it has absolutely zero consequence other than you feel good about yourself? Now, I'm not saying don't take pride in your work. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with pursuing excellence. Please don't mishear me. I get that excellence is important and we should always put our best foot forward within reason. This podcast is for people that feel spread thin. Okay? This podcast is for people that are like, I can't, I'm killing myself to show up for all of these things. Well, that's who I'm speaking to right now. I'm not saying don't pursue excellence. I'm not saying don't feel good about the work that you turn in. I'm saying, what goals are attached in your life? What are you pursuing and why? If you cannot come up with a clear answer, why kill yourself for this thing? For what purpose are good grades important to you? And if all you can come up with are outside beliefs, or this person says it's important, or my parents told me to, or because society says so, or because otherwise I'm not a perfect human being, I'm going to say you need to really question that value and where it's coming from and whether or not we want to shift it to something more productive and healthy in your life. Because here's the thing. The more focus, time, and attention you give to one specific goal or you give to one specific value, that is less time and less attention and less energy for another value and goal. That's what I'm saying. So to recap, point number one, if life is determining a specific value for you this season, let it. And tip number two, wrap your values, attach them to specific timed goals. And these goals will help you understand how much time and attention a specific value should get. And that also brings me to point number three, which I accidentally started to cover already, but that is this. Point number three. Of all the things that you say are important to you, which ones are actually important to someone else? Okay, that might sound like this. Well, I'm doing something because my parents told me it's important, or I'm doing something because my church told me it's important, or I'm doing something because so-and-so or society says it's important. If I'm spending a lot of time giving time, energy, and effort to something that quite honestly isn't important to me, I need to revisit this value and priority in my life. Here's sort of an extreme example. My mother is a beautiful, wonderful person, lovely hostess, and it was important for our extended family to get together every year. And so my mom would host guests at her house up to 3 months out of the year. Why? Because this family time was important to her husband. It was his sister and his sister's husband that would come and stay for 3 months. So my mom would be a gracious host because this was important to her husband. This was important to her husband's sister. This was important to her brother-in-law. But it wasn't really that important to her. In fact, it started to become very draining, where she was feeling a lot of pressure to sort of entertain people 3 months out of the year. And she was starting to feel very drained by this. But she did it year after year after year because it was important to everyone else. I say this is an extreme example because on the outside looking in, it's so easy to say, well, Mom, maybe you should speak your truth. Maybe you could set some boundaries around when they come and how long they stay, or maybe you could ask them to stay at a hotel, and that way everyone's still getting time together, but you don't have to take on this burden. It's so easy to solve other people's problems, right? But how often is the same problem showing up in our life and we have no idea how to solve it? So what I'm saying is, what are you prioritizing for the sake of someone else? But really, if you were to speak your truth and set some boundaries, it wouldn't be a priority. I'll give you sort of a less extreme example. It might just be that your friends get together a couple of times a week for brunch, and you love your friends, and you love spending time with them. And if you were to be honest with yourself, that might feel like too much time to you. Maybe you don't want to get together a couple of times a week. Maybe you want to get together every other week. Yet you've never stopped to think about it. So what I'm saying is, of all the time and energy and effort that's going into your life, where can you scale back? Spend some time reflecting on, gosh, what do I need to prioritize this season? And if I do that, what deserves to get less of my time or none of my time? So tip number three, if it's no longer important to you, get rid of it. Okay. Now I'm going to move to the next tip, which is a question I hear some of you asking me through the stereo, which is, but everything's still important to me, and I'm still confused about my time management. You're giving good advice. I hear you. Okay, look at my predetermined values. Okay, my kids, my job. Okay, and then I looked at the next thing you told me to look at, which was my goals, and I've done that, and now there's nothing really in my life that I'm prioritizing because of someone else, and I'm still confused. Okay, let's move to tip number four. Start with the values and priorities that make the most logical sense to pursue right now. Start with the values and priorities that make the most logical sense to pursue right now. First, we started with the things that are predetermined by God or life, right? And then we move to goals and situations that you want to focus on. Well, now your next focus should be goals that just logistically, logically make sense to squeeze in. It's like if you can imagine this picture of you have a jar, and the first thing that you put in the jar are the big rocks. So you put big rocks in your jar. And then the next thing that you put in your jar is pebbles that will fit in your jar. So then you're looking at your values going, okay, what else is going to fit right now, given how much space is left? So this would be like the sand. So you're moving to the sand to pour sand in. Make sure it's the sand that's going to fit, okay? That's sort of a crude way of saying your next values will be the ones that fit in around everything else I just prescribed. Let me give you a non-example from my life. One of my values and dreams and goals has always been to get my adult gold moves in the field. Now, if you're not a skater, that language doesn't make any sense to you. But it's basically, it's the highest test that I can achieve at this point in my life in the field of figure skating. Now, I've already done so many tests and so much work that this is actually the only final test left. That if I were to do this, I could say I have passed all my moves in the field in this one area of my figure skating adult life. Matter of fact, I was working on this test, and so I know it very well because I was practicing it for several months pre-COVID days. So in 2019, I worked on this test for this specific goal probably 2 to 3 times a week for a minimum at an hour at a time for the better part of 4 or 5 months. And I had a test coming up, guess when it was scheduled for? March 2020. Well, as you probably need no explanation, the whole world shut down. So that test was canceled. I was put off the ice, as was every other figure skater, at least in California that I'm aware of, possibly throughout the world, for months. At the same time, my life kept moving forward. There were things that were beginning to take priority over my figure skating life. And that was the launch of this podcast, the launch of several courses that I was pursuing in my business, and my husband and I wanting to move, wanting to start a family. My life just kept going, even though ice skating was closed. So when my ice skating rink opened back up again, my life had kind of moved on to a point where this goal wasn't going to fit in with my life anymore. So what I have decided to do is to put this goal, not bury it in the ground, but to put it on a shelf until my children enter school. Now that might seem like a really long time away. Okay, we're talking, they've got to start kindergarten, so we're talking like they're going to be 5. And I could potentially start it sooner if I want to put them in preschool or whatever. But I'm just saying, I know that I will come back to this goal at a season in my life that is more appropriate to the goal and it will fit in my jar. Could I potentially squeeze it in now? Well, sure. Anything's possible if I'm willing to give it time and focus and energy. But that's the point. I don't want to give it time and focus and energy right now. I'm busy doing other things. So with this precious goal that I've worked so hard for, that is going to mean so much to me, I'm not saying no, I'm saying not right now. Because logically, logistically, it doesn't fit in my jar unless I take something else out of my jar, and I'm not willing to take something else out of my jar. So therefore, logically, this goal has to go on a shelf for a couple of years. So this tip is to move to the values that make the most logical sense given the time you have left remaining. Now, why am I saying logically specifically? Because your heart is already in the value. Everything that you value is already in your heart. It's already in your gut. So now I'm saying we're going to move to the next place, which is your brain. And logically, what can you commit to at this season in your life? And what should be put on a shelf for the next season in your life? So now, hopefully with tips 1 through 4, you've got an idea of what you want to prioritize. And what you want to prioritize is based on looking at your unconscious values, rewriting them in order of consciousness. What do I wish was most important to me? And then reflecting on what values are by design right now in this season in your life that you need to prioritize, whether that be work or school or your kids. What is it that needs to take precedence? Then tip number 2 was, what are your seasonal goals? In looking at this season in your life, what is it you really want to accomplish? So if your next goal in life is to get to grad school, then you're going to spend time focusing on your grades. Then you are to eliminate the values that others have put on you that aren't actually yours, that are not actually coming from your heart. They're coming from outside yourself or what you think you're supposed to be prioritizing. But really, when push comes to shove, it's not a value of yours, of your heart. And then finally, choosing those priorities that make sense logistically right now with what time you have left in your schedule at the end of looking at tips 1, 2, and 3. Now, we've got a list of priorities. I do still want to answer the question of, well, how do I know now how much time do I give to each of these things if they're all still important to me and I have a long list still, even after all of that? Now, this is why it's so important to create goals around each value. And I teach this in my 5-day classes and to my 1-on-1 clients. So for each value, we are now going to set a goal. Because remember I said tip number 2 was based on your goals What do you want to prioritize as a value? This is now taking the values that are left over that don't have goals attached to them and creating goals around each value. Well, why? Because then I know if I'm on target for how much time I want to be spending on a specific value. Okay, let me give you a real life example. For example, I say that I value my husband. Well, how do I know that? Well, I love him. We spend quality time together every day. I appreciate him. But if I wanted to get more specific around, okay, like how well am I handling this value in my life? I need some sort of measure. Goals not only hold us accountable to measurability, but they also give us freedom to know how much time something deserves or how much focused attention something deserves. There's freedom in that. Creating a boundary around something gives me a lot of freedom, because if I have no boundary and I have no target and I have no measurability of figuring out what to do with this value or how much time to spend on it or what I should be focusing on, then there's a lot of overwhelm possibility there. Overwhelm comes in when I have too many priorities and no idea how much time or energy or effort I should be giving to each thing, and I don't know what to do next, and I don't know what to do after that next step. And so I'm just paralyzed in this state of feeling overwhelmed by all the things that are supposedly important. As soon as someone tells me they're overwhelmed, I know immediately they don't have a clear goal. Let me put this in context of the context that I typically hear as a coach. I'll hear this: I'm overwhelmed in my business. Oh, well, like what's overwhelming you? Well, I feel like, you know, I should probably start a YouTube channel. I haven't even mastered Instagram yet. I'm trying to get this email marketing thing up and running. My website is down. I want to do YouTube shorts. I feel like I should probably be on TikTok also. I have all this great like long form content, and I feel like I need to break it down into smaller bites. Also, my members area is a hot mess. I should probably reorganize that. And there's just so much to do that I just like don't know what to do. So then after some reflecting back to them, I'll repeat back what they said and say, this is what I'm hearing you say. You want to be on all of these platforms. You want to be doing all this stuff. Your members area is a mess. Is that right? Yes. And I'll say, so for what purpose do you want to be on YouTube and TikTok and an email and a podcast? For what purpose do you need to be on all of these platforms? Now, sometimes I'll get, I don't know, that's just what you do as an entrepreneur. And then I'm like, okay, remember what I said for tip number 3. We have to understand why we're valuing something, or if it's just coming from outside of us. Well, this is just, you know, what society says that you do as an entrepreneur. No. And sometimes I'll get what I would qualify as a better answer, but still not great, which is, well, I'm trying to create rapport with people on all these different platforms so I can funnel them into my business. Right? Like that's how you do it. You build relationships on all these platforms, then you funnel them into your business. I mean, that sounds like a good answer, doesn't it? It sounds like this person knows what they're talking about. But I see right through it. I can read right through it. They don't know what their purpose is for even getting in front of all these people. There's no goal attached to this. So they're creating all this work for themselves and all this to do for themselves and all this overwhelm for themselves, and it's not even attached to any specific goal. Now, they may say to attract more people into my business. That's not a specific goal. Here is a specific goal. I want to promote my next upcoming program, Velocity. And my goal for this program is to have 12 entrepreneurs following me through a step-by-step process of how to build and create their funnel and to get in front of more people through online programs. My goal is to get 12 entrepreneurs into this program. Great, now that I have a goal, do I need to be on TikTok and YouTube and YouTube Shorts and Instagram and Facebook and email marketing list and whatever. Do I need to stress myself out about all of that? No, I don't. I focus on the goal. How easy would it be to find 12 people on one of these platforms? So easy. So easy. Now, even if the goal is larger, like let's say I'm talking to someone who has an online program where they want hundreds of people, can they just focus on Facebook marketing to get those 100 people? Yes, they can. That's why I'm saying overwhelmed 100% of the time. Well, let's leave room for margin. 99.9999% of overwhelm is due to lack of a goal, lack of focus. Don't know what I should be doing, so I'm going to be doing all the things. When you have a goal, hitting the goal and finding the how to hit the goal actually become much, much easier than just sort of this ambivalent, well, this is what I should be doing because, you know, this is what entrepreneurs do. Now, same thing in any area of life, even in the example I gave with my husband. Well, you know, I just feel like we should be having more sex. We should be going on more date nights. We should be communicating more. I should be buying him more gifts. We probably should read this couple's book together. We should be doing this. Why? What's my goal here? Now, just one of these things could be a goal. I want to have more sex with my husband this season. Okay, then that's the goal. And the inspired action steps for that become really, really clear. But if I just put all this out there like, oh, well, in order to value this, I have to give all of these, we have to be doing all of this stuff and we should do couples therapy and we should have date night once a week and we got to do this and we got to do that. Focus on what you want to see happen in this season and create a goal around it. If my goal is to communicate better, then maybe we don't need more sex in our marriage. Maybe we need therapy. Maybe we need to read a personal development together. Maybe we just need some one-on-one time to have conversations together and practice our communication. Point is, every single value on your list needs a goal attached to it. Because without a goal attached to it, I don't know how much time I should be spending on it or what I should be doing to prioritize it. Now, could some of the values on your list have the same goal? Yes, absolutely. Let me give you an example of this. Let's say with me, I have my first three values, right? Like God, okay, husband, okay, kids. And let's say aside from sort of my one-on-one time with God, my one-on-one time with my husband, and my one-on-one time with my kids, maybe I'm going to set a goal that brings all of these three things together. Like, let's get the family to church together every week. Boom, so simple. That one goal, focusing on that one thing that's going to take an hour out of my week, serves my top three values. I'm showing you this example because I'm saying set a goal for every value, and some of you are looking at your calendar going, wait, what? Like, I have 50 values here. And I came to this podcast because I'm out of time, and now you're telling me to set goals. Yes, I'm telling you to set goals because those goals are going to provide you with clarity. And that clarity also may come with deadlines. Like some of your goals are going to have deadlines attached, which is going to allow you to zero in on what's urgent and what's not urgent. What needs, you know, 4 hours to get done and then it's done because the goal is met? Or what's going to be an ongoing thing where you're going to dedicate an hour of your week every week for the rest of your life because it's an ongoing service to your values? But if you set a goal for each value, then you know what has a deadline and what has urgency and what doesn't. Now, my last tip for you, tip number 6, is to outsource whatever you can. Outsource whatever you can. And this tip is not just for business owners, by the way. This is for anyone listening. There's going to be things on your to-do list that aren't values. There's going to be things on your to-do list that aren't really priorities, okay? Example, laundry, dishes, mopping the floor, cleaning the toilets, or in your business, creating an Excel spreadsheet to keep track of all of my clients, whatever. There's always going to be stuff that needs to get done that isn't necessarily like the heart and soul of why we're here on planet Earth. It doesn't feed us. It doesn't speak to our spirit. It's just stuff that has to get done. Well, guess what? That is the easiest place that you can scale back. This may require a mindset shift for some of you listening because you're like, yeah, but if I do the dishes myself, if I do the toilets myself, if I do the floors myself, I'm saving money. I'm saving hundreds of dollars every month. And that's money that I'd have to pay somebody else. I understand this point of view. I have been here before in my life, but I will tell you that now that I'm on the other side, I really understand, really truly understand what I'm about to tell you, which is that your time is money, and it's more money than you're gonna spend on somebody else to do those tasks for you. Even if you work a 9-to-5, it's like the entrepreneurial mindset is like, oh, well, you outsource these things and then you spend that time going and working on your business. Duh, you're going to be making more money in your business than the $25 an hour you're going to pay somebody else to do something you don't want to do, right? But I think it's more challenging for people who work that 9-to-5 to wrap their head around, this is how much money I make. So why would I outsource a bunch of stuff when that's not going to necessarily return more money? And to that, I would say this, try it for 1 month. Talk to your spouse or your significant other, your partner, or if it's just you, make this decision on your own. Try it for 1 month. Just commit to 1 month of somebody coming in and cleaning your home for you. Whatever the task is that you absolutely hate, that's an energy leak for you. It's a drain for you to think about it and to do it. Just outsource for 1 month and see if your life is not better. If at the end of that month you're like, nah, it didn't change that much for me. I could go back to doing my own laundry. I could go back to mopping my own floors. It really didn't help me revalue, reprioritize my life in any way. Okay, well then what are you out? Like $300 for that lesson? But I can almost guarantee you that once you start outsourcing stuff, once you start outsourcing the stuff, you're going to have so much more time, energy, and freedom to put towards the things that you really want to. You're going to write me an email and thank me for taking this inspired action step because you're going to say, you were so right. It wasn't in the budget. I didn't want to do it, but I took your advice for 1 month and I'm never going back because the time and energy that I got back into my life was valued so much more than the $250 I spent that month on outsourcing. Now, I want to close with this. There are things in my life that I value that I haven't gotten to do yet. Like I stated earlier, I've put my skating goals aside. I one day want to run a marathon. I one day want to write a devotional. I one day want to start my own life coaching school. Those are things that I know I'll get to. I just can't take them on right now because my jar is full and I've already decided using today's tips what to focus on and what to put aside for another season of life. I know I'll get to them. I'm not stressed about it. I'm not worried about it. I'm not anxious about it. I know that in due time, I will get to those things. Why do I have so much confidence and faith in myself? Because right now, I'm putting time, energy, and focus on the things that I had decided were important for this season. So if I can prove to myself in one season that I can focus, that I can bring dreams to fruition, then I know I can repeat that later in life with something else. Now, some of my values will never change, right? Like God, my husband, my children, those values will always be. Yet the goals around those values are going to shift and change. The amount of time, energy, and effort required for those values is going to shift and change. I know that. And the same is true for you with your values. That's why it's so important to set clear goals for each value so you know, what am I doing this season in life? And as the next season comes, I'll figure it out. But right now, prioritize the things that you want to value in your life based on the tips that I gave you today. Tip number one, what has God predetermined for you that is a priority right now? Number two, what are goals that are going to predetermine your next most important values? Number three, what can you cut out of your life because it's actually important to someone else, not you? Number four, what goals make the most logical sense to pursue right now, given what time you have left after tips one and two? Tip number five, set a goal for each remaining value so you're clear on what you should be doing time and energy wise around each value. And tip number six, outsource the stuff in your life that somebody else could do that would give you back time, energy, and freedom to put towards your other values. Jonathan, I hope I answered your question. Let me know how I did. Shoot me an email. And for everyone else, I hope that you found this podcast extremely valuable. If you did, go ahead and leave me a review and share this episode with a friend. If you would like me to cover a topic or a question that you have, you can send me an email at coachrachelbailey@gmail.com. Thank you so much for tuning in today. Remember, life is a journey. You're the one in the driver's seat. I'll see you next time. Bye.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode of Life Coach in Your Pocket. If you enjoyed today's episode, please share it with a friend. And if you haven't already, subscribe, rate, and review the show on your favorite podcast player. If you have any questions, comments, or feedback, or if you're looking to get involved in one of my coaching programs, you can reach me directly at coachrachelbailey.com. Thanks for listening. I'll see you next week.